Many times we've talked about graft on this station, but this
time graft.
But corruption. This time we're going to be doing grafting, the grafting of trees in our next segment.
So I'm really curious, what exactly is grafting?
Grafting is when you take two different trees or plants. In this case, we're talking about trees, and you graft them together, meaning you turn them into one tree. Trees graft themselves too. A lot of times, if you see a branch that might be coming out and then it goes back towards a trunk and or is rubbing against another branch, over time, those cambium layers right beneath the bark rub into one another, and if they remain still enough, they can become one over time. So that's what grafting is. In the fruit tree context, it's basically manipulating the tree to do that for our own purposes.
Oh, wow. And how do you go about grafting when you want to do that?
The key to it is to have cambial contact. So the layer right beneath the bark on a tree is called the cambium, and that's the sort of life layer of the tree. And if you cut into sapling, any tree, but we're talking about saplings, cut into a sapling, a twig, a stick, you'll see a layer right beneath the bark that's a different color. It's going to be like a light green if the tree is healthy and alive. And that's the layer that you want to make contact between the rootstock and the piece that you're grafting on. Contact between both cambiums.
So it's probably not much different than like skin grafting or some other type of surgical procedure. What sort of tools do you need to graft?
It is very surgical, and it's kind of like a combination of woodworking and surgery in like a sort of precise way. You basically need a knife that has a straight edge, preferably like a long straight edge, and it needs to be very sharp. That will make your life easier. And then there's a variety of things that you can use to hold the two pieces in place. You can use, these are products that are typically sold for this purpose, but like a rubber band type of thing that you bind really tight to hold the tree in place, and then grafting wax goes over top of that. It's kind of a goop that seals in the juices of the tree that hopefully will be flowing between the two cambiums, and also seals out water and other things that might invade and create conditions not suitable for life.
Oh, so there's some sort of waiting period after you make this union until you know that you've succeeded or not?
Yeah, definitely. So typically for fruit trees, which is what we were doing recently, apple trees specifically, you're going to graft when the trees are dormant. So that dormancy in this zone is generally late November through right around now, early April, mid-April. So, and grafting will typically happen in March or early April. People do it in February as well. But basically, the tree's dormant. It's alive, but it's not. It doesn't have leaves at that time. And so once you graft it, you're going to have to wait probably until mid-May to see any signs of the buds on the graft taking life. So other buds on the tree, the buds on the rootstock might start to bud out, to leaf out before the graft does. And, you know, if you're new to it, you might have a 10% success rate. If you're really good at it, you might have a 80 to 90% success rate. But I think it's unlikely that people have 100% take rates unless they're, you know, I don't know. But it's challenging to get all the grafts that you make to work because it is such a fine, precise art.
Wow, it sounds interesting. Why? Why would you want to undertake such a surgical practice?
Well, for apple trees and varietal trees, meaning like any kind of fruit that you're going to want to, really is going to be tasty and you're going to want to eat, you need to graft because The seed of a piece of fruit, like an apple, let's use as an example, is going to yield any old kind of apple tree that may or may not be good tasting. Most likely it'll be some sort of crab apple, which is not going to be really that edible. Might be edible, but it's not going to be good, and it's definitely not going to be the variety that you were eating from the grocery store or wherever, and then you threw the seed in a pot. It's going to be a random variety. So grafts are necessary. Grafting is a necessary practice in fruit production because, you know, if you take a Fuji apple, which is a common variety from the grocery store, for instance, that Fuji apple is the same genetic material of all other Fuji trees. So, you know, an orchard that's all made up of a same variety, for instance, all those trees are actually the same genetic tree. They're just, each one has been grafted onto a different rootstock. And the rootstock is bred in, you know, laboratories, and you don't, not the kind of laboratory where everyone's wearing a white coat or anything necessarily, but, you know, farms that are specifically growing out these different kinds of root trees to see which, you know, work better in different soil types, which are resistant to different kinds of disease and insects, you know, all in an effort to do different things. You know, one could be in an effort to have the most fruit production, but maybe you're willing to sacrifice fruit production if you have like some sort of blight issue that you need to take care of. So you might want a rootstock that's, you know, really resistant to fire blight or woolly apple aphid, which is another pest. Apples have tons of pests. So if you're trying to do it organically, it's really challenging.
And then talk a little bit about these rootstocks and the advantages of using different kinds of them.
Well, the a lot of the way that the tree grows, what in arboriculture term you'd call the habit of the tree, or horticultural term, I guess, you know, is it a bushy tree? Is it a tall tree? Is it a short tree? Is it, you know, does it have a lot of suckers or water sprouts coming out from the trunk? All those types of things are the tree's habit. And the rootstock determines a lot of those factors, in addition to its resistance to different disease. So you can, if you have a rootstock, which also are all of the same genetic material that have been grown from these same trees and sold and then distributed, you know, throughout the world. You know, if you have a rootstock, you know what your tree is going to look like. So, you know, you could graft onto anything. And this weekend we grafted onto some wild apple rootstock and, you know, just as an experiment. And who knows, those might be end up being great rootstock trees that grew from wild seed. That's totally possible. But if you're planting onto, say, a G41, which is one of the rootstocks that I used this year, you know, I don't have it right in front of me, so I don't remember its characteristics, but you're going to know it's going to be a semi-dwarf tree. It might be 40% of a standard apple tree, which is going to be like 35 to 45 feet. So maybe a little bit smaller than that, but semi-dwarf tree might be 15 feet tall. That's a lot easier to pick. A true dwarf tree would be more in the, you know, 7 to 8 foot range, which is going to be easy for a person to pick from the ground. So a lot of these orchards that you might see when you're driving around or walking around are growing semi-dwarf and fully dwarf trees, which, you know, are great for orchard practice. They're really easy to pick. You can grow them really close together, so you can get a lot of production. They're precocious, which means they fruit really, you know, early in their life. You might only have to wait 3 to 4 years to get apple fruit, whereas in a standard tree, you might have to wait 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
So there's advantages in that way, but mostly you know what you're getting is a big part of it. The disadvantage is that, you know, they are short-lived. They're shorter-lived. You know, apple trees in the wild are going to grow really old, and they'll be all gnarly and craggy and interesting, but you might have a couple apples some years. These more precocious dwarf trees produce a lot of fruit, but they're bred in a way so that, because orchard people know that they're going to be replanting every 10 or 15 years. Mm. So trees last a certain, you know, that's a sacrifice that's made in that industry for fruit production. And also they may not be rooted as well as a standard, you know, wild apple tree that's not going to necessarily fall over, even though it's hollow and, you know, 100 years old. Some of these trees, they grow so much fruit so quickly that they need to be staked or tethered. And that's just something that in the orchard industry is like acceptable for as a sacrifice for fruit production.
Cool. So there's like, say there, I know there's a lot of street tree, these pear trees that are planted. So those are, we assume they're from the pear family, but they don't produce edible fruit. Would somebody be able to put a variety of edible pear onto a street tree?
In theory, you could do that, and it's a great experiment that we should do. There's a lot of ornamental pears. You know, they're very rugged. They can grow in like almost any condition. They're not that big, so they have a lesser interference with telephone wires and so forth. So they have like these advantages that people see as utility for street trees. They don't actually fruit, as you said, so there's no like fruit dropping on people's cars and sidewalk, and that's, you know, apparently seen as an advantage. They're also just not very pretty. They're kind of boring trees, and really they'd be a lot more interesting if you could graft fruit onto them. And you can, if you take scion wood, which is the prunings of a fruiting pear, you could graft it onto a street tree, typically like a Bartlett pear or an ornament, some other kind of ornamental pear, and in a couple of years that stick, that branch would bear fruit. It's not going to change the whole tree, just on that branch. Yeah. And that process is called top working. So you basically are going to like top down the tree. It's going to be really ugly, and then you're going to graft branches onto it. And over time of doing that year after year, you basically build a new tree on the ornamental pear rootstock, which would be a cool idea because those rootstocks are rugged and made for, you know, living on the street, which is challenging for a tree.
What about, how many varieties can you get onto one tree?
There's people who have, you know, tens of varieties on trees. I don't know the record, and I don't know, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't do as many as there are branches. I have a tree with three, and I've just put one more on. So if it takes, there will be a four. It's an apple tree, so a quadruple variety apple tree, just as a small experiment. It started to fruit, so this past year I had two kinds of apples. I'll probably still only have two this year, but next year maybe three, and then the following year maybe four. So that's a fun experiment. And in the garden at Collard City Growers near the sanctuary, we have some trees where we're trying to do that as well.
Yeah, I believe there's a pear that hasn't fruited yet that has two or three varieties on it, which is cool. Where, if people are interested in doing this kind of stuff, where's a good place to go look for supplies and rootstock and scion and all the tools?
That's a good question. I'm not totally prepared to answer it well, but you know, the internet is a wealth of yes, knowledge for all these things. You know, there's a few knives that are really, Felco is a company that makes, you know, good pruning shears and knives, and you know, if you have a solid grafting knife, it will make your life easier. But really, you know, I've read about people doing it with box cutters and so forth. Like I said, it's like a woodworking process, so if you have a blade and you're willing to take the time and the precision, you can really make anything work. But you know, with anything, having the right tools makes it more efficient and easier. The other thing you'll need is this like sort of, what's it called? It's like a film that's a stretchy sort of plasticky film. It's that's what I've been using, and it works really well to... I would say like A.M. Leonard is a really cool catalog for this kind of gardening stuff that has all this stuff, but there's, you know, you probably find it, a bunch of it at Agway too.
Everything is just a search away. All right. Well, that got piqued my interest. So let's get grafting.
Yeah, plant some trees.